Good evening. Certainly good to be present tonight and see all of you as we assemble together for the privilege of worshiping God together. I certainly want to express my appreciation to the elders and Brother Greg for asking me to fill the pulpit in his absence. Would encourage us, please be remembering Greg as he is away preaching God's word in an evangelistic effort, and we trust that much fruit might be brought forth from those labors. And we certainly pray that God in his providence will bring him back at his appointed time. As we get started tonight, let me ask that you be turning your Bibles to 1 John, please. 1 John. Sin. You can almost hear the serpent's hiss in pronouncing the word, can't you? In the English language, a word of three letters comprising one syllable. But friends, please never allow the minute size of that word to deceive us or blind us to the enormous potential for its harm, its loss, and its ruin. Friends, sin has wrought incalculable destruction, untold misery to this world and its inhabitants. I thought one writer well captured the detrimental effects of sin in a very abbreviated poem that has been entitled Sin's Arithmetic. You may have heard it in the past. It goes this way: sin adds to your troubles, subtracts from your energy, multiplies your difficulties, and will divide your interest in God's work. And its wages is death. Friends, the gravity of this matter, sin, it cannot be adequately conveyed. I'm certainly not up to that task. I would even submit that the gravity of the subject of sin is something that cannot be overstated. Sin is the besetting problem of mankind. And that's a fitting description of it for one reason, because it is universal in its scope. We are well aware of the familiar words of Romans 3 and verse 23, as the Bible affirms, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Twice in the opening sentiments of 1 John, we find the Spirit-guided apostle of love cautioning, if you will, cautioning us as Christians against dismissing the problem of sin as though somehow it will not affect us. Look there at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say, as Christians, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Drop down to verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that's God, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Sin, it's everybody's problem. It's mine. It's yours. Sin is at the root of every problem facing man. Sin is at the root of every failure experienced by Christians. Plainly stated, sin is a serious matter. It deserves our most earnest attention. Now, having stated that, brethren and friends, let's face reality. We live in an environment that is not conducive to cultivating and then maintaining such a view of sin. Think with me. Think with me daily. Number one, daily we are surrounded by individuals who are entrenched in sin, many of whom practice it with no remorse. Many of those individuals are unconscious of its presence in their lives. Some of those individuals will even celebrate their sinful lifestyles. But secondly, then we have this issue. We have humanism and relativism, two very prevailing philosophies that permeate our society and its institutions. And friends, these destructive, damning ideologies have convinced many people that there isn't even anything such as sin. And those who promote it, those who promote humanism and relativism, they would laugh at the prospect. They would scoff at our asserting that there is a divine judgment that's going to be visited upon those who continue in sin. They'd laugh at it. But then thirdly, rather than our society presenting sin in terms that would evoke concern, present it as though it's serious, friends, we live in the midst of a society that excels at euphemisms. See, what we have done is we have renamed sinful behavior and conduct. And the reason we have done that is to attempt to remove its seriousness, to make it less offensive. And so sin today is couched in terms that really render it innocuous to the ears of individuals, to the consciences of people. Think with me, friends, how bad does pro-choice sound? An alternate lifestyle sounds rather innocent, doesn't it? An affair? That actually sounds good. Living together? It seems so indifferent. Telling a story? Sounds rather innocent, doesn't it? But then fourthly, for some in our society and the environment in which we live daily, friends, there are some people who make sin a laughing matter. Hollywood? Hollywood parades its deviant and devilish wares across our televisions, and they make a mockery of sin. And that's on prime time. That's prime time sitcoms and dramas. Satan is very crafty. He uses Hollywood. And he knows what he's doing. He'll take a sinful storyline, and then he will wrap it up in a very interesting plot. And then he will package it in some very impressive cinematography. And then it becomes a box office hit. And brethren, the devil has us paying money to go in and be entertained about sin. Songwriters, they fill their music with candid descriptions of their sinful exploits to the delight of listeners. And so you watch people drive down the road singing with a smile on their lips. And then popular comedians, I can't watch them. They spew forth vulgar language, making jokes about sinful behavior to a crowd of people who will be laughing. And if that were not bad enough, then we have a government that has sanctioned sin in the form of legalized murder of unborn children. Ever increasing aggressive legislation condoning homosexual behavior. I don't want to be depressive, brethren. But against that backdrop, wouldn't you agree with me? We're going to have to exercise some very great resolve. We're going to have to be very vigilant lest we become comfortable with sin and we lose a proper perspective regarding just how serious it is. You know what we should do? If we saw sin the way God sees it. Friends, God hates it. He abhors it. That very book I had you to turn to twice, 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4 and verse 16, it will say of God, He is love. God is the very essence of love. A wondrous truth. But friends, that loving God hates sin. And it is because of His immeasurable love for you and me that He urges us to do the same. Because He knows only then, if we hate sin, will we be deterred from practicing it. Only then can He protect us from the horrific consequences that will be ushered into our lives because of sin. And so let me just state at the very outset right now what my objective is in our sermon tonight. It is an attempt to do that very thing. To see sin as it really is. To see sin as God sees it. And again, this might seem like heavy stuff. But friends, we need to be impressed with the seriousness of sin. We need to increase our hatred and abhorrence for it. Because unlike our world that thinks sin is a laughing matter, it's not. It's a matter of life and death.